Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to the Cubby House live for the 16th of May 2011. Tonight you're joined by Cookie.
I'm Jack.
Hello, I'm Kevin.
And thank you very much to Lisa and Lonster, who did play from the second album, Spice Girls track.
You know too much about the Spice Girls and you've done your own.
I know.
That's healthy.
Too good for you.
I know. That's going back to my childhood now, isn't it?
Now, may I that this show is a Spice Girls free area?
It has been vetoed, as has ABBA.
Yes, so I've heard. But whilst we talk about those wonderful artists, we've got a few of our own coming in tonight. And not only an artist, but we've also got an administrator of the Defence Force looking at our topic.
Take a look at my awesome job.
You guys are kind of creepy.
Come play with us, Kevin. Come play. So, take a look at my awesome job. It's a celebration of the dirty work that people do. It's about taking a look at the little person and the little role that has a big impact in the world
Got there in the end, did you?
That's the point.
Good.
Awesome. I would also like to explore this topic from a personal perspective in saying that we need to work in order to support our lifestyles and our building ourselves in a financial way. So what does one do to not only integrate their work life into their own lives and how does it clash with their personal lives? Do they have to make compromises? Or can they actually weave them both together to make them fit nicely? We're going to be talking about both sides of those stories with our entertainer and with our administrator from the Defence Force and ourselves. But we'd also like you to tell us on your SMSs via 0427JOY949.
You use the telephone machine.
Yes. Or you can email onair@joy.org.au the answer to the question.
What's the best job you've ever had? You can send in your emails on the computer automatron.
I'm leaving the two of you alone. You guys are just a running gag.
But everybody, most people, I won't say everybody, because not everybody has a job. But it's an important part of who we are, that often who we think we are is through what we do.
Perhaps one could say it's also a career in which you make a journey for yourself as well.
Now, we've got a Facebook page, don't we? Because we're on the internet, that fancy new wonderful thing of ours.
That's right. Don't forget to like us on www.facebook.com/thecubbyhouse.
I like it.
I like it too.
Everybody likes it. We're not talking about awesome as in, wow, this is great, but also awesome as in grandeur, that the things that you do have effects on the real lives of people.
Awesomeness.
We're talking about the unsung heroes of our community. I'm not going to say Aussie Battler because I think that's used too much, but I'm talking about the nurses, I'm talking about personal carers, teachers, the garbage men, policemen, CFA volunteers, even people that do Meals on Wheels or outreach at aged care homes.
Before we get too far, we'd like to know from you, though, on 0427JOY949, what's the best job you've ever had?
Cookie, are you familiar with the butterfly effect?
I believe I am. It's the theory that if a butterfly can flap its wings one side of the world, it can cause tornadoes on the other side of the world. So therefore, in saying, a small effect that somebody can do can cause tremendous consequence or effect on somebody else.
Bullseye.
Well done, Cookie.
Very well articulated. You repeated just what I told you during our song break. You've got a good memory. I like that. I like the boy.
And you nearly had him, you know, thinking to our listeners so that he actually knew what he was talking about.
But I knew. I just need to be reminded.
It's about the effects that the little things that we do that can have a big effect on the very course of people's lives. And one of the things about this is that we generally have no idea that we're even doing it, that we're influencing the directions of the world itself. I mean, policemen, nurses, but the reason why I wanted to bring Ben Brown on the show, who was a counsellor at an oncology ward in Sydney, is because I've been thinking a lot about my dad, and because of the fact that he passed away of cancer himself almost 12 months ago. Mm-hmm. And it's just looking back at all the support that he was given, not only in taking care of finances, but also the legalities of tying up his own estate, but also just how he was working with a funeral director just to make sure that everything was just the way he wanted it to be. And it's just affected me in a way which I haven't really thought about in a while, that these people, it's their job to do this day after day after day. But after they stop seeing their client, who either goes into remission or dies, then they don't necessarily always know the effect that they've had on people.
Well, that's true, but let's just take a step back. In your particular case, do you think that these people were just there, or do you think they've actually had to develop these processes over time because of people who are in your situation where you personally don't know how to do all the things that were done, and when your dad did die, you would have been left with all this burden, and you wouldn't have known how to tackle it?
Well, I think that people don't necessarily just find themselves in this particular role. They don't just search on seek.com and then just find themselves, ooh, funeral director, that sounds like fun, a career change, that it's just a progression that people move into these kind of caring careers. But it's not just about, say, my own personal case, but also just people that participate in outreach programs, that even a small conversation that you have with a person can stop them from taking the most devastating and selfish of acts.
Well, there are volunteers out there that spend hours and hours a week out there, you know, giving of themselves selfishly. And those people, I mean, to them it's given freely, but the amount of impact they have on the people that they give, it's amazing.
I mean, one of the cases which always comes up in the case of unsung heroes are teachers, that overall they don't really necessarily feel as though they get paid enough for the work that they do, and they tend to be overworked. But if these people are there and they're shaping the next generation of Australian citizens and to temporary and permanent residents too.
And by the same token, well, I've personally been in a teaching capacity over the years. There are the little bonuses and little rewards you get by knowing that at the end of the day, you know, you teach someone a knot. They may forget it the first time, they may forget it the 10th time, but by the time they've come back to you and shown you after teaching them 100 times, they know that knot. It's such a reward, and I can tell you that, you know, you may run into them 10 years down the track, and yeah, you might have taught them that knot, but you also taught them patience and gratitude in knowing that somebody was there to actually, you know, help them through a struggle that they were going through.
Well, I was very lucky enough when I was going through high school to have a fantastic English teacher who taught me to question preconceived ideas. I went to Christian schools the entire way through high school and through primary school, and it was this whole concept of you have to be a certain way. And obviously she wasn't Christian, or if she was Christian, she was very liberal-minded. Mm-hmm. And I just have to say thank you to her for taking the time and patience to put up with all my smart-ass comments, but basically to help me put my mind together in a way and just being there when I needed her most.
But it's not just about people that are in traditionally caring roles. I mean, you tend to think of people who are right in the back of ambulances, which are having the most effect on people. But even people who are, say, in finance or administration, that might come off as a body of work where you're not really affecting people a great deal. But one thing that I think about a lot is that we are, all of us, are cared for and appreciated in ways that we can't possibly know. It's a bit of a warm, fuzzy thing, really. Warm and fuzzy.
Well, speaking of warm and fuzzy, we are the Cubby House live on Joy 94.9. In a few minutes, we'll be having our first guest of the night, an entertainer that's well known throughout this part of the land. You are with Kevin, Cookie and Jack.
This is the bariest show on Joy 94.9.
It's the only bear show on Joy 94.9.
And has been for the last 17 years. So far we've set quite a precedent.
Yes. I picked that song because it reminded me, looking back into my life and how I've grown. And one of the people who I've met along that journey is someone who we've now got as a guest. She is a very special point here.
Yes.
She not only is our entertainer of tonight, but she's also the first female to be invited onto the Cubby House project.
It's like being the first chicken to the Melbourne Club.
Yeah.
Which was a bit awkward if you're the Governor General and a woman.
If you can't work out who it is by now, it is the wonderful Jade Leonard. How are you?
Hi, boys. I'm so well. Thanks so much for having me.
I'm scared.
Me too.
We've been looking up excuses to try and get you on the show.
Really?
Yeah. Really.
And so which one worked?
This one?
We are talking about, look at my awesome job, and there isn't anyone more awesome than you getting up on stage doing what you do, which is, by the way,
sing
and
stuff and play piano.
Woohoo!
Yay. Woo, yay me. All right, that was an easy question. All right, yes. I'm ready now. I'm on fire.
But you don't only get up on stage, do you?
No.
You have another job as well, don't you?
I do. I'm a teacher as well.
Primary or secondary?
Both, yeah. I teach singing. So I teach primary kids and secondary kids and adults and anyone who wants to learn to sing. Awesome. So that's kind of good fun too.
Cool. So in this job, you know, what would be the three big things that would be the worst part about doing the job, first of all?
Which one? Or all of them?
All of the above.
All of the above. I don't like the admin stuff of being a muso, you know, because you have to I have to self-promote, and I don't like that because you sort of have to tell a lot of people how good you are to try and convince them to have you play in their venues and for their events and stuff like that. So I find that sometimes a little bit difficult. Mm-hmm. But I love performing, you know, and so it's sort of that makes it all worthwhile. And teaching, look, I genuinely love teaching. I actually just did a couple of hours of singing lessons with some new students tonight, and I really love it. I really do. There's not a lot that I don't like. Sometimes it can be challenging, you know, depending on your students and their personalities, but most of my students are divine and we have a great time.
What do you think makes a good teacher?
Patience. and also the ability to connect with your student, you know. I had a shy little bunny tonight, and she was her first lesson with me, and she didn't want to talk to me at all. And I was trying to be very nice and just kind of chill out a little bit, you know. But it's just about trying to find that point of connection, you know. And when you kind of hit that nail on the head, it's nice, you know.
I've been looking at possibly being a teacher at some point in my life, but I've always been curious to know, at what point do you feel in your teaching, whatever you're actually teaching, when do you turn around and say, I think I'm ready to teach, I think I know enough to teach? What point would you say is that for you?
I don't know. I was encouraged by a couple of people to start teaching. And I think without that encouragement from people who were kind of my mentors and my teachers, then I probably wouldn't have sort of leapt to it myself. And teaching is a craft and it's a skill that you develop. You know, like I really wish I could find and apologize to the students I taught for probably the first year, you know, of my teaching, because you're kind of cutting your teeth and you're developing your skills and developing your own knowledge of how to pass on the information that you have in your brain in a systematic way that someone else can actually learn and benefit from that. Mm-hmm. But I guess in doing teaching for so long now, I feel a sense that I have to teach because there's like a lineage, you know. I've been taught by some of the world's best musicians who have been taught by other wonderful, amazing musicians. And it goes on and on back, you know, into time. And I think that's a kind of selfish of me if I stop the knowledge at me and sort of, I don't know, somehow hold myself, I don't know, too high to pass that on or something. I think it's important to tell other people who are interested what I know.
The other correct answer is you only need to stay one lesson ahead of the student.
People do that. It's scary.
Yeah, I have friends that do that. Do you find that teaching or blends or clashes with your private life as well?
I thought it would when I was younger, and I guess certainly a lot less secure about my sexuality than I am now. But now, I guess thanks to the advent of Facebook, it's such a wonderful talking point, I guess, isn't it? I've got a lot of my students who are my friends on Facebook. And when Facebook came about, I sort of started a profile and then I was like, oh, right, I get how this is kind of going to pan out. And I just made the commitment to be out. I put, you know, Fiona and my wedding photos up there and, you know, it's very clear on my profile that I'm married to Fiona. And, you know, I'm out now and all my students know that. I'm out on my blog. I'm out on my Tumblr. I talk about the fact that I'm a dyke and that I have a wife and that I'm part of the gay community. So anybody who I work with now has access to that information.
Now, homophobia in schools has actually been a fairly big issue. So do you encounter any of that particularly amongst the student body?
Not. I've been so lucky, really. I've pretty well always taught at alternative schools. I've taught at some private schools and I guess I've been probably a little bit more careful. Particularly around, you know, students and parents with my sexuality. I've never really found it a problem with other staff members. But the school I'm at now, I mean, they've got gay and lesbian and queer identifying students, you know, and they're really well supported. And I bump into them at the Equal Love Rally, which is just gorgeous, you know. I'm like, oh, they're my babies. And that's divine, and it's really nice to be in an environment where I can be out and, you know, I guess somewhat, you know, I mean, I look back at school and I know that there were gay people on staff, you know. You look back at Facebook, you just go, yeah, I so know. And it would have been wonderful for me and my friends and all of us who are coming out to know, you know, and have those people stand up and be kind of role models for us. So
have that support.
And yeah, and kind of know, oh, okay, so we're not freaks. And so I sort of feel like I can be that for some of those kids and just go, yeah, you know, I have a normal life and I have a job and, you know, it's fine.
Just briefly before we continue, outside of the teaching, the entertainment part of your life, how does that kind of clash with your life? Because obviously that is normally at sometimes weirder hours than a standard teaching job would be.
Sure. I don't even know what hours I work. It's kind of mental, you know, like it's 11:30 and I'm on the radio. So this is kind of work for me too, you know. Fiona's amazingly supportive of everything I do and she's at most gigs when I'm performing and, you know, usually she's making everybody feel very at home and, you know, videoing or taking photos or doing something to help that. So she's quite highly involved, I guess, in my performing life. Yeah.
Going back to what we were saying before, that just how little things that we do can make a big difference, that I think it is important, not necessarily to be out there, but just there, that it makes a big difference.
I hope so, you know. There are kids that I've been teaching since they're in primary school and now they're in VCE and, you know, graduating, going on to uni, and they're coming out and all of that sort of thing. And I don't know, you know, I just hope I'm maybe some sort of, I don't know what, just, yeah, that, you know, life kind of, it gets better. And that, you know, while it feel how it feels when you're coming out, and particularly at that school age, you know, it can be horrendous. I don't know, and to have people who are standing up around you is really, I think it's really cool. But not, you know, it's not like I walk around with a pride flag at work or anything.
It is important though, because I mean, growing up as a kid myself, there are a lot of negative influences and negative voices. It is nice to know that someone like yourself is out there giving positive voice as well.
Yep.
So well done.
Thank you.
Do you want to hang around with us and do Listener of the Week?
I'd love to.
All right, we'll be back right after this on Joy 94.9. You are with the Cubby House, Cookie, Jack and Kevin on Joy 94.9. We are asking you on 0427 Joy 949, what's the best job you've ever had?
That's on the telephony machine.
Yes.
So far, the only answer we've had comes from Mark, who also thinks he's a comedian. A head job does not count, Mark.
Unless you're a prostitute.
But then you don't really... Oh, I guess some prostitutes get head jobs as well, wouldn't you?
Yes, I'd imagine so. Yeah. If you're a prostitute, please send in an SMS to 0427JOY949 and tell us if that's the best job you've ever had in your life. I'd imagine for some that it would be a very good thing.
It doesn't have to be a prostitute. It could be just anybody who enjoys sex.
Okay, now we're so moving on to our new topic.
What is the best job you've ever had, Kevin?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea. I'm going to assume this one. Doing radio. I love radio. Yay.
And while we're at it, we are going to be asking the wonderful Jade to be our Listener of the Week. So that means...
Oh, I'm so scared.
We'll be gentle.
All right.
Well, first of all, what's your name?
My name's Jade Louise Leonard.
What's your age?
I'm 30.
Single or available? Wait, or taken? Single or taken?
Single and available is the same. I'm taken. I'm married. I'm very married.
Now, if you could have a superpower, what would it be?
I'd like to fly.
Why?
Because that would be cool. Because you could just go places and you'd be like high above everything. It'd be very cool.
What would your ideal employment be?
My ideal employment? I'd like to be, you know, I'd like to be a stable hand. Really, I'd probably like to be a jockey, but maybe before that, a ballerina.
Oh, that so brings us up to the next question. What's the weirdest place you've had sex?
Weird sex.
Not in a stable. God, a bus?
How?
It's ways and stuff.
We don't need her to go into
details later.
So would you date yourself?
Yes, hell yes.
What's your favourite item of clothing?
Oh, I've got new shoes. They're red, like rubber high heels. I haven't worn them yet, but they're my favourite.
Who's the person you'd like most to have sex with?
Maybe Sia or JD.
Now, this is something that sparks my curiosity a lot. What melts your butter sexually?
Guys.
From a scientific perspective, I'm not a pervert.
Tim Ferriss, in his book, The 4-Hour Body, I think just to sell more copies of his diet book, has a chapter on the 15-minute female orgasm. So I might just point you in the direction of that chapter.
Okay. So what could you not live without while we're at it?
Chocolate? No, that's lame. That's such a lame answer. Music, for sure. Couldn't live without music.
What do you prefer, organisation or chaos?
I'm not very organised, and I try to be, but I like to try to be chaotic because I think there's too much of an inclination to be habitual.
Okay.
So how did you get involved with the bear community?
Well, I met this guy. I was doing this youth acting thing called YGLAM.
Really?
Yeah, I was. And because I was just scraping in on the youth. I reckon I was 25 or 26, and I'm like, this is my last year of youth. Anyway, so I went along, and I was like, hi. And he's like, hi. And I'm Jade. He's like, hi, I'm Cookie. and
yeah, and the rest is history.
And the rest is history.
So it's Cookie's fault.
Yep.
Yes.
Excellent. And last question is: describe the first time you went to a gay bar.
Oh, it was Q&A when it was at in Gertrude Street. Is it the Builder's Arms? Something? No, I can't remember what it was. What the pub's called? But it was there, and I was 17. I was underage, and I was with this girl who I thought was pretty hot. And we stood in the line, and they gave us chub chubs because we had to wait so long. And I went in, and then that's the first time I saw two boys kiss, and I thought that's pretty cool. And that was that. So, yeah.
Well done, you survived. Woo-hoo! The questions weren't that bad.
Welcome to the club.
Thanks.
It's very exclusive.
Now we'll put the tattoo on.
Yes.
Excellent. I'm so needing a new tattoo.
And now it's time for the hazing.
Well, believe it or not, we're going to tonight, at least for you, perform one of your own songs.
Oh, thanks, guys.
And we thought, well, we're kind of talking about your job and we don't want to leave out your partner, so we're dedicating this song to her.
Oh.
So, Fiona, if you're listening, this song is for you. It's from Jade, by Jade. It's called Save the Last Dance for Me.
Dance, every dance for the guy who gives you the eye. Let him hold you tight. You can smile, every smile for the man who holds your hand neath the pale moonlight. Just don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. My darling, save your last dance for me. Oh, I know that the music is fine. It's like sparkling wine. Go on, have your fun. Laugh and sing. But while we're apart, don't give your heart to anyone. Please don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. My darling, save your last dance for me. You know I love you so. I can feel it when we touch. I'll never ever let you go. I love you just too much. Go on, dance. Go on, carry on till the night is young and it's time to go. If she asks, are you all alone? Can she take you home? You must tell her no. Please don't forget who's taking you home. And in whose arms you're gonna be. My darling, save your last dance for
This is the Cubby House live on Joy 94.9, and our topic for today is Take a Look at My Awesome Job. And we're taking your SMSs on 0427-JOY949 with the subject, What's the Best Job You've Ever Had? Now, Christian from Northcote has actually SMSed in with an endorsement for the world's oldest profession.
And unfortunately, we do have to make an apology, and we do apologise, Christian. As you say, prostitute is politically incorrect. I prefer sex worker. And yes, it's the best job in the world.
Oh. If you'd like to contribute a little bit more to that topic, you can email onair@joy.org.au or use the telephony and SMS on 0427 Joy 949.
Now, on today's show, we're talking about jobs. Jobs, jobs, jobs. And not the kind that makes suave products. That was not cool. I apologize to the world for that one.
So moving on.
Yes. We have in the studio a guy who considers himself an administrator for the Defence Force. Can you please make welcome Chris?
Hi, Chris.
Hi,
g'day,
Chris.
Dave. G'day, guys. Look, I'm an administrator with the Defence Force. I'm not going to... I won't throw this title out that suggests I'm the only administrator in defence, but that's one of the many jobs that I've done.
Okay. Well, do you want to elaborate in saying what jobs you have actually done? Because by the sounds of your CV, it doesn't stop at one.
No, I've had quite a few. I've had 26 and a half years in the Defence Force. So I started off as an infantryman.
Mm-hmm.
Then I became a recruit instructor. Then I became a gopher, I suppose, for the chief of the general staff, or the chief of the army, you'd call him nowadays. More of an orderly, so again, more administrative sort of support. I've been a recruiter, recruiting directly to the Royal Military College, Duntroon, and also to the Australian Defence Force Academy. And I've taken on a few sort of what we call extra regimental roles. So the DEFCLIS role, the Defence Force Gaylesman Information role, service role that I do at the moment, as well as public relations. I've done some public relations for the ADF Aussie Rules team.
Now, when you think of administration, I generally would think of that as being quite separated from the day-to-day activities. So from the way that you described it, it seems as though the administration is very much tied up within the culture of the Defence Force.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Good, solid administrative and logistic support is paramount to any operation, regardless of whether it's military or not. So the value of good administrative support and working within that system to ensure that the objectives and the roles of the organisation are achieved is just as important as operational frontline or sound logistic lines of support, if you like.
Now, in this particular kind of career that you've had, what would you say some of the main three characteristics of the job which you didn't actually enjoy?
There wouldn't be too much that I don't enjoy in the defence. Obviously, when you sign on the dotted line, you agree to certain conditions of service, if you like. So I agreed that I would travel around every couple of years. And travelling around can have its own sort of intrinsic problems, if you like. Never really being able to sort of settle down into one area. Mm-hmm. Although the defence nowadays tends to go for back-to-back posting, so a posting period might be 2 to 3 years. Now, particularly with families putting kids through high schools and that sort of thing, then they'll do back-to-back. So they might do 6 to 7 or 8 years in the one posting locality. So some of the problems I'd say with... you don't get to sort of settle down into a location that you might like, but of course, I've tried a few now and I'm quite happy to settle in Melbourne.
Awesome.
What do you think are the main skill requirements for your job?
A sense of organisation, certainly, the ability to prioritise tasks, because generally you find with any administrative role, there's always someone that comes into your desk, landing in front of your desk and says, this is more important than the other. So, that ability to engage that individual, if you like, with a bit of diplomatic diplomatic skills. Yes, that's all well and good, but I've got to do this one because that person wears more rank. So establishing priorities, organisation, and certainly a sense of, initiative.
Do you find that your job clashes or blends with your private life?
Well, look, to be brutally honest here, I was closeted for quite a while, and deliberately kept the two apart, both my private life and my personal life, and I do to a certain extent now. It's only that I've taken on the National Media Liaison Officer role with Defence Force Gaylesman and Information Service that I've actually began to meld the two. I've been openly out in my last four postings. I know what rumours and innuendos can do to small units, small organisational units, and so I just, take the initiative and take the positive step and try to alleviate the possibility of that happening.
You've mentioned the Defence Gay and Lesbian Information Service.
Yeah.
Got it right.
Yeah.
Just quickly, what's the website, just so people who are interested can find out?
Yep, the acronym for the Defence Force, Gay Lesbian Information Service, DEFGLIS. If you just search on that with Google, you'll find it. It's just defglis.org.au. You'll find us also on Facebook, and both an intranet and the internet. We're a volunteer organisation, so we don't actually receive any funding from the federal government for any of our activities. So at the moment, purely voluntary, and hence the information service. It's about all we can do is just provide advice and guidance to people going into an area, the services that are available to them, etc., etc.
I suppose you personally, given that you are both now a media liaison and part of the Defence Force, you would have to be scrutinising what you say on personal sites such as things like Facebook and so forth, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, absolutely. And look, those sort of guidelines creep across all professions. I mean, a couple of young Melbourne footballers have got themselves into a bit of strife twittering. You just have to be aware that once you press that enter key, then the information is out there, and at some stage you may well have to be held responsible for those actions. So you have to consider seriously the information that you say, both verbally and written.
If someone wanted to follow your line of work, just kind of wrapping this up, what would you suggest they do in terms of the role or the path you've taken? How would you suggest somebody get started on that if they wanted to be, you know, say, part of the Defence Force and kind of help the community in that respect?
The best thing to do would get hold of the recruiting agency to start with, and they will give you a plan. They'll give you an idea of the trade that you might be looking at, but they'll also provide you with a physical training guide so that, you know, you're not lumbered with this physical training test as soon as you get off the bus up at 1RTB at Kapooka, where we train recruits. So it's about being prepared, both physically, emotionally, and aerobically, really. The fitter you are when you get to Kapooka, the better it will be in the long run, because then you can focus your time on learning your new trade or your new profession. Preparation's the key.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for joining with us, Chris. What title would you like to be closed off as?
I've worked for 26 and a half years to get the rank of title, so I suppose the title of Sergeant Chris Warwick will do fine.
Thank you very much, Sergeant Chris Warwick.
Thank you very much, guys.
You are with Cookie, Jack and Kevin on the Cubby House. And it is about 10 minutes until we are joined by Alan and the Eurovision show.
He'll have much to talk about this week. Azerbaijan winning? What a rip!
I was happy with the winner, but okay.
Joy 94.9, you are still with the Cubby House for another 5 minutes before you're joined with the very delicious Alan, who's got a lot more material I now hear, considering the Eurovision party was this weekend.
Yeah, he's got at least 25 new tracks. Those are the only ones that made it to the finals. Of course, although you've got all the other losers, but who cares about them? Israel, who cares?
Uh-huh. Well, again, we'd like to thank you for joining us tonight. We'd also like to remind you to check out some of our media points of contact throughout the week.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm stepping into the role of the Facebook Nazi. Find us on Facebook, The Cubby House Project, and like us, or I will get you.
We know where you live. Inside my heart.
Aww. A lie. I won't come and get you. I'll send Jack to come and get you. He's a ranger. It's even worse.
And he's a cuddle slut from what we hear too. There is also something you do every week for us, Jack, and that is update our blog. So where can one find our blog?
You can find it at http://thecubbyhouse.net.au. That's thecubbyhouse.net.au, where you can find lots of little tidbits, updates of the show, videos, also pictures of our pretty faces.
And I do believe, since we did hit 100 likes, we are still in the production of the very special present.
We are, and I'm actually going to open it to the community and the listeners as well. Email us suggestions at a podcast at thecubbyhouse.net.au. We'd like your feedback on what you would like to see in the photos.
Maybe you'd like to see a cock on a frock on a rock.
That's, I'm sure Jack would love to do that for you.
A suggestion.
You can email your suggestions in at podcast at thecubbyhouse.net.au.
Which brings us on to our show for next week, seeing that I'm, as always, the pariah for saying arsenine things. Next week's show is I Think We're Alone Now, Stories of Solitude. Yes. I mean, I Think We're Alone Now is an exploration of different types of solitude, from breaking up with a partner to disassociation from God. It's going to be a powerful and moving exercise, and I can feel it in my chest and in my crotch.
But if I was looking forward to it until you said that last crotch.
Well, I was going to say, if you don't feel you're getting enough of a Cubby House fix once a week on air, you can also check us out at our blog, thecubbyhouse.net.au, and it will also give you details as to how to add us on things like iTunes or an RSS feed catcher, as we still have issues with Apple. But until that point, good night from Cookie.
I'm Jack.
I'm Kevin.
We are the Cubby House Live, coming to your ears on Joy 94.9. Stay tuned for the next few hours with Alan and the Eurovision show.
And don't worry, bicarb soda will get that mess right out, I swear. See, that wasn't too high. We've got another episode down.
Hang on. Which? What mess?
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.